All right, Dave. So now that the show is over, I want to dive into some additional topics. We can consider this the after show, the business broker growth show after dark. I don't know what we want to call it. I don't have a name for this yet, Dave, but it's some things that I didn't necessarily want to put into the main show, some things that I have questions about, some things that I think are fun topics, but kind of get in the way of the main conversation, which is why I just have this second segment here. So I want to run through these questions. You can answer as short as you want. You can go rapid fire. You can go long, whatever. That part doesn't matter. So here we go. Number one, what will brokers need to survive in 2030? So not 2025, we're talking 2030.
You will need a consistent marketing program. You will need to understand AI and its role in the valuation process. And you better have a good computer.
You know, it's funny too, because you think, okay, well, our phones are more powerful now than computers that first came out that people had at home, right? I forget what I saw. It was like an older cell phone, and it was comparing that had more power than it, like the Apollo moon landing, like, you know. And so, but it is interesting how as the technology builds and you can do more, you actually do need a better computer. Because you end up doing so much more, and it still takes a lot of resources.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily power for Excel, but the video video conferencing stuff is huge. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I upgraded my PC because it couldn't handle the video needs of, you know, what came out of COVID. Everybody's doing these video calls, and my computer is like stalling and really frustrating both people on that call.
Yeah, funny side note story for me. So started consulting in 2019. I remember COVID hit, and I was like, I'm gonna go and do Facebook Lives, right? I'm just gonna start streaming live on a regular basis and put stuff out there. I was using a laptop that was an older laptop. I didn't realize at the time because it completely melted down on me. Like almost literally, I did a whole Facebook Live streaming where my face froze because my camera wouldn't work with my laptop. And all you could hear was really delayed audio. So my face was frozen for like a 30-minute LinkedIn Live. Luckily, I think it was only my mom watching. So it wasn't really a big deal because it didn't have any audience, but it was terrible. It was in that moment where okay, I need a real computer. Let's talk about number two here. What's the number one tech shift you think coming to M&A?
Well, it's surrounding AI, AI for sure. I mean, we're right in the middle of it now. I mean, we're at the infancy of it, but in the industry, it's being demonstrated to me every week, the things that I can do now that I couldn't do a year ago, literally. And that's, you know, research about targeting buying groups, private equity groups, private equity platforms, financial buyers, strategics. You weren't really able to do that research a long time ago. Now you can do it. And you don't necessarily need to subscribe to some of these other services because you can, using AI, you can find a lot of these things. So, you know, whether it's ChatGPT or Claude or a Copilot or whatever it is, some are appropriate for these activities and some don't work so well. So just kind of dive into that and start playing with it. And I'm not a pro at it, but I found that asking a question on ChatGPT, the words in my question will completely change the outcome. So yeah. This is another thing. You just got to start playing with it and using it.
Yeah. And what I'll say just for anybody out there, just for you and anyone listening as well, the best tip that I learned is if, you know, because I meet with a lot of people and talk to people who are like, I don't understand and I don't know where to begin. You just talk to it in that same way. How can you help me help, you know, how can you help me use you to help me? here's what I do.
Yeah.
Right. Give them a say, here's what I'm do. Here's what I'm working on. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. How can you help me? Like, you can even use it. Like, I did this. I got this tip from listening to Dan Martell, if anyone's familiar with him. And I went in there and I was like, okay, so here's what I want to learn. Can you put together a 5 day a week, 1 hour a day, self-paced curriculum using free content on blogs and or YouTube, and then make a curriculum and make an assignment every day in this topic and just make a 20-day, 4 week program. And it did it, right? Like, you can ask it to help you learn how to use it. You don't have to have all the answers, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So one of the things, and I'm curious, because one of the things I appreciate and respect about you, with lots of brokers I deal with, but I know the horror stories on the other side that we talked about in the main episode, is the valuation piece and the fact that you care about that and you want to put quality, not just quantity, listings out there. Is where do you see AI being good for valuations and also a limitation in valuation so far? Right, I'm not expecting you to see the future, but.
Well, to do the valuation in a proper way, you're plugging in a lot of data. And it's not just about comparable data points. We all that have been doing this for any period of time, subscribe to various databases, done deal databases, where we can, pull in data points to the software that we're using and then analyze those data points to see if they're a fit, removing outliers and removing businesses that are too big for our subject and too small, those kinds of things. But there's other pieces, there are other websites and data to pull in, peer group data, and AI will identify these data points for you. But again, you can have erroneous information from AI because you didn't ask the question correctly. So don't assume that the output from AI is the end all be all and it's exactly what you were looking for. So I'm going to use that. Well, don't make that assumption, because we're in the beginning stages of this, and it used to be, what was the analogy? GEICO, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. If you ask a question that it doesn't understand, it's going to do the best that it can and maybe give you some erroneous data. So be careful of that.
If you're listening to this and thinking, I need this level of authority, I just don't have time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. That's what we do here. We build that whole thing for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and the authority signals, everything we've talked about here on the podcast. So if you want to add impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it could look like for your business. And now back to the episode. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest lesson, right? Like, it's the trust but verify thought process, which is it gives you something that could be really good. It could be really wrong. It could be close. It could be accurate. It could be off. Obviously you have the experience and the gut instinct to know whatever it's spitting out. Like, is that real? Is that not? Is it fit with you? So I think that's a really good tip. We're recording this September 2025. So we got, eight plus months in. What's the biggest lesson you've learned this year so far?
Well, the challenges of a new leadership in Washington, D.C., and their policies and their priorities, specifically I'll point to the tariff structure. It may end up being bad. It may end up being good. But I personally think it's going to end up changing this country for extremely, extremely much better for all of us. But getting there has kind of created this instability, this unknown, this fear, if you will. And it's out of our control. And just keep plugging away, be patient, do what you do, Don't turn off marketing. Stay out there with a consistent message and keep doing what you're doing despite all this noise, and keep believing in the skills that you have, the products that you're using, and everything will turn out. Don't quit. Don't stop.
Don't stop. Next question. What are you most excited about doing over the next 12 months with your business? Anything exciting? Anything you have planned?
Well, no, not that we've got planned. I keep receiving these gifts of these really unusual, unique businesses that really just fire me up. you and I were talking about one earlier, and I won't get into the details, but every once in a while, you know, you get this one, you just shake your head at and go, man, how did you do this? Or it's so unique and so cool, not necessarily in a unique industry, but they found an angle. Found a niche and they're exploring that. So.
I think that's what's fascinating and so fun about your business, the world of business brokers, is that even if someone focuses on one industry, no matter what, every business, every client is going to be different. They're never the same in every aspect. So you're not just pulling, you know, a lever for the next 30 years, right, in a factory. It's completely different. Obviously, we can't talk about the one that you mentioned before we hit record. I'm excited to hear how that one turns out, so you could talk about it later on. Maybe we'll do a recap episode. But, you know, those kind of things that come up, those business opportunities. I know that's what fires up a lot of business brokers, because they just love the unique business, learning about business, being a business nerd like me, and then figuring out, all right, how do we sell this? How do we sell this bad boy, right?
Yeah, what does that make us? That must make us some kind of nerd of some kind.
I used to beat myself up in my head, you know, especially when people say, what's your hobbies? And I was like, well, I like studying business. I love reading about business. And I was like, wait, it's just fun for me. It's what my brain thinks about, you know, wherever.
Well, hopefully we're not sitting on the beach somewhere with a cocktail napkin out. We're doing spreadsheets on the cocktail napkin. I'm not there yet, man.
My mode is more when I'm sitting at the beach, you know, I live in Southwest Florida. Wherever you go to the beach, they, you know, if it's a resort type place, they got the, you know, you can rent the umbrellas, you can do all that stuff. My brain is thinking, okay, how many umbrellas are they renting per hour and per day? And what's their business model? And what's their, so that's, my brain is just always thinking the economics of a business all the time. But I think that's what makes it all fun. So final question in this not so lightning bonus round that we're doing, which is a blast, is if you could wave a magic wand to have one marketing strategy implemented automatically, what would you pick? What would you like to have done that either isn't getting done or you don't want to have to deal with it?
Well, I think what's always been a challenge for me, whether it was back in 2001 when I started this or last week, it's what we call deal flow, right? You know, you get rid of the peaks and the valleys, and you've always got this consistent deal flow. And those of us who've been doing this a long time, we sort of know the answer to that. It's about staying out there and, you know, keeping talking to clients, never turning off the marketing machine, never stop talking to people. But there's going to be, regardless of all that, there's going to be some deal flow pauses. And hopefully you've got enough in the pipeline, you know, that doesn't cause harm. But it would be some magic AI button lever device where you could send that out to the universe and the universe would manage the deal flow for you, you know, based on a number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll work on that. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll be the guinea pig. I'll beta test that for you.
I'm pretty sure every broker I know that I've ever spoke to, they would be happy with that magical AI deal flow optimizer for sure.
Exactly.
Instead of the all or nothing mode that tends to happen. So, well, Dave, I appreciate you being here. For people tuning in, this was the after show. This is the second part. Got Dave Long here from Arizona Business Sales Advisors. His contact info, his ways to reach him will be in the show notes. Also, make sure to check out the main episode. Dave, thank you for being here and sharing even extra stuff with the audience. And for everyone else tuning in, until next time, as I say, stop hoping for deals, start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.